Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Alan Levy Show at blogtalkradio.com. Be prepared to call in now and chat with Alan and his very special guest right here at blogtalkradio.com. With no more further ado, please welcome your host, Mr. Alan Levy.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio. It's a pleasure to be with you this afternoon. Once again, this is Alan Levy, and you're listening to this show live at blogtalkradio.com, where we do live podcasting and broadcasting, for that matter. And we have a very special show tonight, this afternoon. My guest is Paul Parkinson, and he is with Podcast User Magazine. So we're going to talk about that, and Paul's calling in from London, and he'll be here in a moment or two, and I'll introduce him to you. Those of you that would like to participate in the show today, you can call in live. We are live here at Blog Talk Radio, and the call-in number is 347-677-0649. That's 347-677-0649. And before we get started with our show, I want to, you know, welcome all of you to Blog Talk Radio, and thank you for joining me. You can also listen to the show as an archive file, as a podcast. And that you can listen to the show on blogtalkradio.com/Alan Levy. Or you can also listen to it on our MySpace page, which is myspace.com/blogtalkradio. We're going to be spending a lot more time on MySpace and building up the network on MySpace. We have more than 2,000 friends now. Most of them are hosts or have been hosts or guests of the shows on Blog Talk Radio. And it's just something that we're going to really focus on. So we're really looking to build on this viral campaign. We're very excited about all of you participating in Blog Talk Radio and using the service and enjoying it. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce my guest this afternoon, and Paul Parkinson. Paul, are you there?
I'm here. I can hear you loud and clear. Thank you very much.
Great. Well, welcome to my show today on Blog Talk Radio.
I'm very pleased to be here.
Yes, thank you. Well, you're obviously you know a fair amount about podcasting, given that you are the editor of Podcast User Magazine?
I am. Yep, I am. Absolutely, yeah.
Excellent.
It's a part-time job. I have a real-time job in the real world outside of podcasting, but I'm the editor of PUM.
I see. Excellent. And where can people find Podcast User Magazine? What's the website?
It's real easy. It's all the dubs, podcastusermagazine.com.
Excellent.
It doesn't get any easier than that.
No, that's for sure. Well, thank you for joining me today. And you're calling from London. I guess you were talking earlier, you're not in London, actually. You're in Kent. Is that correct?
That's right. That's just to the southeast of London. I used to live in London, which is where I got the name Parky London from. So I didn't feel like changing it.
Well, how long has Podcast User Magazine been around and been being published?
Okay, we're now at, I think it's issue 15, so 15 months of a monthly publication. We started probably a couple of months before that, so I'm figuring, I guess it was December 2005 when the first conversation started on one of the forums here in the UK. We got the first issue out in February, and really and truly we're going from strength to strength since then. We've got a lot of interested people producing content for us and participating in the magazine. So, it's about 15, 16, a year and a half, I'd say, we've been going. It's from an idea to issue 15.
And how's that, and you've been pleased with the progress you've been making in terms of subscriptions, readers, feedback, and so on?
We always welcome feedback and letters coming in or emails. It's kind of hard to break away from the magazine concept of letters to the editor, but emails to the editor are extremely welcome. We're averaging around 10,000 downloads a month, which is very satisfactory. Clearly, we'd like some more. We're going from strength to strength, and we're having a good time while we're doing it, which I guess is why we all get up in the morning and think about work and podcasting in the magazine.
Yeah, that's for sure. And not to mention the 55 million blogs out there where most people don't really make any money from the blogging effort. They do it for a passion, of course, right?
Absolutely. We do it for a passion as well. I mean, sure, we take some advertising from time to time, and that's really used to offset costs that we incur in hosting and delivering the PDFs for the magazine. We're not taking any money out of the magazine at the moment. I wish.
Right, okay.
There's a few of us. It's costing money to actually do this, but we do it because we love podcasting and we love the magazine.
Right, okay. Now, are you focused, more UK-focused, European-focused, or US-focused with your content, the profiles that you show on, you profile in your magazine?
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a misconception. Sure, there's an awful lot of Brits involved in the magazine, but you know, something like 75% of our readership is actually based in the States. So we try to be as balanced as we can. You know, we're just a bunch of Brits talking about the States, but we do have some fantastic contributors from the US. Our editorial manager, Linda Mills, is always on people's backs in the States to produce articles, and we've got a number of fantastic producers writing articles for us. So, I mean, Lance Anderson is one of them. Chuck Tomasi, CC Chapman has done some stuff for us in the past. So, you know, we want content from all over the world. The only stipulation is it has to be about podcasting or any of the related subjects, and it has to be well written. But we'll help you if English isn't your first language.
Okay, that sounds good. Now, have you been attending any of the conferences? I know there was PodCamp most recently in New York City. There was a PodCamp.
Yep, we had Linda Mills went to PodCamp. Linda and I went to the Expo in Ontario, California last fall, and we did the corporate podcasting event in London a few weeks ago. So, yeah, we're active. We have stands. We trade stuff for booth space. So, you know, we like to do advertising for people in exchange for booth space.
Now, I was at the Ontario conference, actually. And I think I met you there. We had just launched at the time. We launched literally last August, September time frame. I don't know if you recall meeting me or hearing about Blog Talk Radio at that time.
Funnily enough, when you guys got in touch with me, I went, I know that name, I know that name. And I went back through the deck of business cards and things that I had from the expo, and sure enough, you were in there. So, yeah, we absolutely did meet back then, which I thought was quite funny because I just completely forgotten to get back in touch with you, so my bad on that one. But, you know.
That's okay. I'm just in another spam file anyway. So, you know, I walked around that conference. We had, as I just indicated, we launched a few weeks earlier, and I'm new to this space. You know, as most of us are, but I'm my background is in telecoms, and you know, we created Blog Talk Radio to provide a live interactive tool that we happen to record the conversations, and therefore we've got the podcast, RSS, and the like. So yeah. I went over to the show just really to learn. I just wanted to understand what was going on in the industry, where it was headed, and I have been talking about live broadcasting and podcasting, and I was the only one it seemed to be at the time talking about it. And I continue to be talking about it, and there's, of course, some other people doing it, maybe in different forms. But that was the thing that I took out of it. When I came back, I said, boy, we're either very smart or very stupid. I don't know. One or the other.
I think it's one of the things that podcasting has missed, which is the immediacy of talk radio. Now, with talk radio, you can get people ringing in, and you can have a conversation with them there and then on the spot. With podcasting, it's very much an asynchronous conversation. You know, I'll say something on a podcast, and a few days later, a couple of weeks later, someone will send me an email in to comment on what I'd said or to add some extra content to it. But if you've got people, you know, on the line ready to talk and happy to talk and with interesting things to add, then it just makes it into a much, much more interesting space to be in.
Well, that was my theory, and I think that's what we're seeing here on Blog Talk Radio. And I understand you have signed up or set up a show called Parky London on Blog Talk Radio that you haven't yet done one, but thank you and congratulations.
Thank you very much. I look forward to doing it. I mean, I do podcasts myself from time to time, so I will, I think, be trying to do one on with Blog Talk Radio shortly. I'll do one of mine this week in London, so I'll invite people to come in and talk about their experiences of being in London.
Well, that's great. We have a host that, you know, before coming on, I was talking about a trip that I had taken over to the UK. I was invited by the British Council to meet with 60 young leaders they had assembled from around the world to talk about social media techniques and so on. And I was very happy to go, and it was very exciting. We went to 11 Downing Street. I was invited there to Gordon Brown's place and to accompany them. And I was there to teach these 60 young leaders about Blog Talk Radio. And these leaders came from all over the world. They were aged 23 to 27 years old. They're from almost every country around the world. And it was fascinating. And while I was there and meeting with the folks at the British Council, I met a blogger by the name of Slugger O'Toole. Have you heard of Slugger O'Toole?
No, I haven't, I'm afraid, no.
Well, he's a blogger in the UK. He's in Ireland. I'm sorry. I think he lives in the UK, but he's in Northern Ireland. His website is sluggerotool.com. He's the number one blogger in Northern Ireland, and he's got a terrific following. And we started talking about Blog Talk Radio, and he's doing a weekly show now from Northern Ireland. And he's had MPs on his show, and it's been quite interesting.
I'm just writing down Slugger O'Toole so I can check him out when we finished here.
Yeah, Slugger O'Toole. And we have a bunch of other shows that have been generated, have been created now out of the UK. And one of the objectives of Blog Talk Radio is to broaden the message. We've got shows coming from Brazil. We have some shows from Nigeria. We have shows from more than 20 countries.
That's a very impressive performance. I mean, how long have you been up and running as an organization, live, if you like, out of beta?
Well, we've been, you know, running live shows since roughly September.
Okay,
so
cool.
It's about 6-7 months.
Okay, I mean, you're doing pretty good if you're getting shows from all over the globe. I mean, we're downloaded in, the latest numbers, about 115 countries, but by far the majority of them are sort of US, UK, France, Germany, Netherlands, and then there's a very long tail out, you know, to China and Lebanon and places like that, but... for us, it's just a simple download. Your guys have to dial in. They have to get organized, and I think that's a very impressive performance.
Thank you. Yeah, I mean, for us, we've got listeners from around the world. But, for example, we do a show that's he's one of our top 10 shows, Olavo da Caravello. He's a Brazilian philosopher. He's a politician. He focused on the political right in Brazil, which is a very lonely place since everyone's, you know, the leadership in Brazil has left. And he does a live broadcast. He's been doing it now for 3 months. This first broadcast, he got 1,500 live listeners. So 1,500 people clicked on the click to listen button on the Blog Talk Radio site to listen to the live show. And he's constantly getting 3,000 to 4,000 downloads on every episode of his show, his 1 hour weekly show.
Wow.
And it's done in Portuguese. So as I was talking to him, because I'm fascinated by the users of the platform, and he speaks English. He actually lives in Virginia, but it's all done in Portuguese because he had to leave the country. And he said to me that he had gotten so much email from his audience and the readers of his blog that he had no time to manage through that. So he felt that a radio show, he was looking to do a radio show or a broadcast so he can be in touch with his readers and take calls from them and speak to them. And it's worked out perfectly for him. So I see Blog Talk Radio as being a very significant communicating tool, because one of the key things that we're doing is implementing a click-to-call feature.
Right.
And the click-to-call feature will be our own voice over IP or VoIP interface that's built into the platform.
Okay.
So you will, you know, a listener will not have to dial a U.S. phone number to engage the host in a call. They'll just have to click a button and be able to talk to the host.
Very good.
So, yeah, so if you're doing a show using Skype out of the U.K. and you've got and your listeners are U.K.-based or they're based out of France or Germany, they just have to click a button and they'll be able to talk to you online. So I think that'll be something that'll help facilitate European or international expansion of the application.
For sure.
So let's talk a little about podcasting. I mean, what do you see in the industry right now about it? Just very curious. Someone who's obviously writes about it. You see all kinds. I mean, corporate and you know, very professionally done. Not such professional. I mean, what is your sense of the industry?
I think we're going through a growth phase right now. You know, we've gone through the initial very rapid growth as the early adopters jumped on board. They bought themselves a little microphone and just started podcasting and using Libsyn, all the very Podshow and various other services. And I think a lot of the presenters are now getting smarter about how they distribute their shows. They're starting to get a lot more professional about how they put these shows out, becoming very much more focused on not necessarily the radio approach to doing things, but looking at that as the quality mark. We're getting an awful lot of corporate podcasting kicking off now. Corporates getting onto this idea of podcasting as a new media, a new channel to market, a new way of getting additional information about products out. We're seeing corporates getting involved in using podcasts as a way of training and briefing their teams and their staff. You know, the whole music thing is exploding with a variety of different pod-safe music organizations being out there ready to deliver musical content to people, to podcasters, to put in their shows. But I can talk for England about this stuff, but I think the nub of it is that we're going through another growth phase. There's been some stabilization. We've had a bit of pod fading, but I think we're ready to gear up now for round two.
Okay. It's interesting. And the thing that I have noticed about podcasting, the traditional podcast that, I mean, at least that I've seen as I walked around Ontario on the conference, was, you know, the number of digital, you know, equipment vendors there and others that are helping to facilitate the podcast.
Yeah.
And it seems to me that the traditional sense of the podcast is challenged to the extent that it's not, it's unlike blogging, which is very open and free and viral and easy. Podcasting tends to be quite complicated. Would you agree?
Yeah, I would absolutely agree with that. It's one of my personal bugbears at the moment is it's becoming easier and easier to do podcasting, but it's still pretty damn difficult to actually get a podcast and actually listen to it anywhere other than sitting in front of your computer. You know, I travel up to London every day on the train, and I've got my earbuds jammed in deep, and I'm listening to a whole host of different shows because I've got the technology and I can get it onto my iPod. But there's people sitting around me listening to, frankly, you know, rubbish music who are missing out on a huge amount of content that they can get completely for free. And we really need to make this whole podcasting, podcatching, you know, getting the podcasts from where they are to where they need to be a lot easier than it is at the moment. It's a real issue, you know, for me, trying to explain to people. You know, you sit in front of someone and say, you do podcasting, Paul, and they say, yeah, absolutely, and blah, 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 blah. They say, well, how do I get one? And I say, well, have you got an iPod? And if they say yes, it's like really, really easy. You just say, go to iTunes, click on the podcast section in the iTunes Music Store, and then have a route around and then subscribe to stuff as you see fit. Unfortunately, if the answer to the question, have you got an iPod, is no, and you say, well, what have you got? And they say, well, I've got a Zen Micro, and I've got a Sanyo, or I've got a Creative Zen or whatever, then you're stuck. You talk about using, you know, great products like WinPodder, marvelous piece of kit, Juice, used to be known as iPodder Lemon, but they still rely on copying RSS into, well, WinPodder doesn't, but you know, Juice requires you to copy an RSS feed into a certain point and play with it there. So we just got to make that whole thing a lot easier. There's got to be another application comes through which makes it a ton easier. WinPodder, I think, is 95% of the way there, but I still think it's a bit tricky for some people to use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would agree. I mean, do you think that most of these subscriptions that are coming through, the downloads that are reported to be occurring on in the, you know, in the podcast community are via RSS and subscription?
To be honest with you, I, again, it's another bugbear of mine. I don't think the stats that we get as podcasters are probably as clear as they could be. But talking to people, other podcasters in the space, you know, they're saying that there's still a vast majority of them just coming straight off the web page.
Right.
You know, more and more people getting it through iTunes, quite a few people coming in through Juice and WinPodder, but the majority of people just go, oh, I've got to go and visit that website, that blah, 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 thisweekinlondon.co.uk, just go there and listen to it, see if there's a show. But we've just got to make this RSS thing a lot easier to use.
Well, that's what one of the challenges that we've had here. You know, on Blog Talk Radio, we actually take care of the entire process for the hosts. We're able to do that. And, you know, hosts can come on a Blog Talk Radio. We walk them through the registration process with iTunes. So you can actually be registered in the iTunes search engine. And then, of course, any listeners can go to a host channel and subscribe to the podcast using iTunes or Yahoo, any other feeder, a reader. So that has been a key element of what we're really trying to accomplish, because I believe that people don't know when that next podcast is going to occur.
Correct. The only way they will know is by using RSS, but we're back to square one with the complexity of using it.
Yeah, as I said, so what I and again, most people don't even understand what RSS means. So much of what we've tried to do here at Blog Talk Radio is to facilitate the process. You know, we have a player, a flash player that you can put on your website or blog that will play your last show. We will have a drop-down player that'll play the last five shows, so your readers can select any one of those five shows. Or then, of course, you can subscribe via RSS. And I just like to change the word RSS, you know, come up with something that's easier for people to understand.
Yeah. I mean, it should be really smart syndication.
Yeah.
It needs to be smarter. But, you know, it will come, I'm sure. I've got this great faith in the open source community. I've got a great faith in podcasters and the technophiles out there that will be able to make it easy. I must put a plug in for WinPodder. It's the closest podcatcher I've seen that actually does what it says on the tin, and it's a very smart piece of software.
And it's now, what is it called? WinPodder?
WinPodder, WinPodder, I think it's .com.
Excellent, WinPodder.com. And what exactly does WinPodder do?
It actually turns the RSS syndication into a drag and drop, and you can actually double click or right click on an RSS feed, and you can say add to. It's 90% of the way there, but you know, I think we've just got some work to do on that whole subscription thing. You know, it comes back to the magazine as well. You know, I think subscription is the wrong word. You know, you start talking about subscription in a magazine and people automatically think that money changes hands, whereas, you know, that's not true. We're completely free. But subscribe, you know, how much does it cost? And podcasts are in the whole free as well. So, you know, the subscription model might be putting people off, because they're thinking you might have to pay for it.
That's a good point. That is an excellent point. And I think also the issue that at least I have come across is where are you aggregating the content? You know, iTunes is certainly a good place, but they only really aggregate those featured shows that are there. You can search for others, but they're going to drive you to those shows that they want you to see.
Absolutely. If you look at the charts on the podcasting charts on iTunes, it's all big media. With one or two exceptions, it's all big media. You know, the BBC, I see iTunes Music Store UK here, so it's just full of the local radio stations regurgitating content without the music. But people seem to like it.
Well, I think it's because these are known brands and they have significant reach, and, you know, the BBC, of course, is significant. So, you know, they're huge, so that they're listed. NPR, of course, but you're right. But there's so many podcasts that are very interesting and engaging, and you know, so my hope is at some point, Blog Talk Radio will be a featured provider on iTunes. We've got more than 4,000 hosts have registered to do shows on Blog Talk Radio since we launched.
Right.
Yeah, so
you should at least be on Apple's radar by now.
We should be, and we do, and we are actually, and many of our hosts' office are signing up with, you know, to be registered with iTunes. Again, it's a process. A lot of it has to do with training, and you know, again, if someone listens to a live show, or they listen via a flash player, or they listen to the RSS, or listen to on iTunes in the MP3, I'm fine with it. We're just looking to broaden the reach and broaden the message. You've been listening to Paul Parkinson. He's on The Alan Levy Show on Blog Talk Radio. If anyone would like to call in, the call-in number is 347-677-0649. That's 347-677-0649. I was speaking to Slugger O'Toole. His name's actually Mick Fealty. I could use his real name. It's Mick Fealty at Slugger. O'Toole.com, and I'm planning to head over to the UK later this spring and going to host a meeting in probably one of the hotels in London to introduce, you know, Blog Talk Radio and live broadcasting to bloggers over there in the UK as our new site launches and our click-to-call feature is released. So I'd like you to maybe you'll come over and speak to some of these bloggers.
Love to.
Yeah. It's something that, you know, I think would be quite helpful. And there's just so many interesting things going on in the space. I just would like to see the viral nature of the industry become more relevant. And by that I mean, with blogging, it's open and free, and I was alluding to this earlier. And again, podcasting, I don't believe is. People are very much focused on the quality of the call, of the conversation. Not the quality of the conversation. I mean the audio, the quality of the audio. Is it mixed properly? Is it, you know, you uploaded, you know, are all the effects uploaded? Do you have any
yes and no
in there?
Yeah, yes and no. I mean, I think there's an endearing quality to someone who is clearly passionate about what it is that they're talking about and leaves ums and ahs and, oh, I don't know about that, and so it just starts talking as if he's talking to one of his friends. I think there's a very endearing quality to that. And equally, you know, there's podcasts here in the UK. There's one chap in particular called Roger Smalls who podcasts through his Nokia cell phone. He will record an MP3 on his Nokia cell phone and put it out as a podcast. But it's an endearing lack of quality, which makes it very interesting. It really is homegrown audio. And sure, you can go and spend thousands and thousands of pounds or dollars on equipment, but at the end of the day, it boils down to the quality of the content that you're putting out. If what you're putting out is what people want to listen to, then you're away.
I fully agree. I mean, that's the premise behind what we're doing here. It's the quality of the conversation. To me, it's the conversation that counts. And I think that if we focus, as an industry, if we focus on the conversation, then, of course, then I think that can only make the conversations that more engaging. If they're live, if you've got collaborative discussion, if you've got panel discussions, and so on. So I hope the industry, the leaders of the industry, look at these things. And actually, who are the leaders of the industry in your mind?
I don't think there are any at the moment. I mean, there's people who are very well known because of the organizations that they're running. I'm thinking of, I don't know, Adam Curry and Ron Bloom at Pod Show. I'm thinking of John over at Magnitudes and, you know, yourselves, Blog Talk Radio. There are quite a few organizations, but I don't think there's anybody leading podcasting alone. It's still a very disparate, localized, in inverted commas, communities of people working on their shows. Whether or not there's actually a community is a whole different conversation, but I don't think there's anybody leading podcasting at the moment.
Mm-hmm. And Adam and Casey, right? He's got one of the most popular podcasts, is that correct?
Sorry, who? Sorry, I didn't catch you.
Gervaisi?
To be honest with you, the name's familiar, but I can't remember.
I guess he's
a bit frazzled. He's
a comedian, isn't he? Maybe I have his name.
There's Richard Vobes, do you mean?
No, Gervaisi, I thought. I may have the wrong chap, but, you know, I think that the podcasting space, you know, I know that Lee Gibbons from Podango has been working on developing some tools that can assist with advertising. I mean, have you been spending a lot of time in your magazine talking about monetization tools and processes?
We've looked at it, and we've done a number of articles on the whole monetization, and I hate that word, I really do, but you know, getting some money out of what you're doing in podcasting, I think you know, the big money, the give up your day job type thing, I think is only going to apply to maybe the top 1 or 2% of podcasting. You know, the people who've got 10,000 listeners, people are, if they're taking adverts, they're doing it to help cover their costs. Whether or not there's going to be a long term, I'm going to make a ton of money out of podcasting from doing a podcast, I just don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
Do you think that the have in your research and the articles that you've written, what is the advertiser's view towards podcasting?
Interested, intrigued, puzzled, but at the same time, if they can flog product as a result of podcasters or you know, podcasters buying equipment or people listening to a podcast and being turned on to a particular product, then yeah, they're up for it. But I think the big money is still some way away.
Yes, I would agree.
I hope I'm wrong. I really do. I hope I'm going to be proved so wrong on that, but I just believe that it's just a ways away at the moment.
Well, if you know, you think about the real targeted demographic capability you have. You know, if we're running shows on sports or on golf, I mean, you know, you've got it, and you have 1,000 listeners. Well, these are 1,000 people that are either listening live or downloading a broadcast. Or let's say it's just a traditional podcast, and they're listening to that file. You have 1,000 people listening. These are all dedicated people interested in that topic. And you'd think that a Callaway or a Nike or a Titleist would be interested in that type of dynamic.
Absolutely right, yeah. Is that dog your end or my end?
Unfortunately, it's on my end. That's a perfect example of live broadcasting, and unfortunately, my door is open as I look over there, and can't really control the Cocker Spaniel. Sorry, you're hearing that on your end. But see, that's the beauty of live broadcasting. It's live.
I love it. I love it. That's what makes it so real. I'll tell you a little story. Mark Hunter, some of your listeners may have heard of Mark. He does the Tartan podcast out of Scotland. He's a major player in podcasts, User Magazine as well. There was one of his early podcasts. He was sitting there, he was doing his show, introducing the songs, playing the music. The whole thing was going swimmingly. And then his little son came in and started talking to him. He just said, you know, I've got to stop podcast for a second, click. And then he came back on, you know, instantaneously, obviously, and said, well, sorry about that. That was my son coming out to deal with him. And that just sort of brings it home that this is very much a personal, from me to you through this microphone, down into an MP3 in a way. And I'm bringing you into my world. And if I've got something interesting to say about my world and it maps into your world, then it makes it for compelling content.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I'm a bit embarrassed now by my Cocker Spaniel barking a bit in the background.
I think it makes it very personal. It makes it a very, very, very personal thing, and it really just brings it home that, you know, we are actual human beings. We're not sitting in multi-thousand-pound recording studios. We're sitting, you know, in an office desk. We're in a snug in our house with the gear in front of us and flashing lights and stuff, but it's not, you know, gazillion dollar recording studios, which makes it a very personal thing, and I love it.
Yeah, well,
so keep that dog, keep the door open.
You know, it's funny, when I started Blog Talk Radio in September, we had no, you know, before we launched the site, we had no hosts, of course. I mean, we had never done this before, and we were wondering, you know, are people going to check this out? And of course, I was the first host. And I would be in my office, in my home office, in the evening, and I would do multiple shows a day because I had to have something on the content while we were bringing hosts on. And we actually had TechCrunch we were launched by them, and they were great. We got a bunch of hosts after the first launch, but as that settled down, I was back again doing the bulk of the broadcast, and I would be on the phone or my headset in the evening, and one of my daughters would come in with a, you know, question about her homework, and I'd say, honey, I'm on air. And she looked at me and says, what do you mean that you're on air? I said, well, I'm on air. You know, this conversation stream live. So it was really funny. So it is a real life. But look, that's to me the exciting part of what the blogosphere is all about as well. You know, most of the people on Blog Talk Radio are bloggers. And they host, and they spend hours and hours a week communicating to their audience via the written word. They mm-hmm. research their content. They link to others. They build an audience. And I think it's just a natural extension to have that conversation with your audience. And, of course, to have it, you know, in spoken word, in live, it makes all the more sense. So.
Yep, I'm with you that 100%.
Well, excellent. Well, I think that's great, and I appreciate you joining me today. I know it's getting late over there. I look forward to hearing your show on Blog Talk Radio, and it's blogtalkradio.com/Parky London. Is that correct?
I guess it would be. Yeah. I hope you know it better than I do.
I just took a look at your site, so we'll need you to upload. You can upload your image. There's a link to your site, your blog. You've got a blog there, correct?
That's right, yeah. www.thisweekinlondon.co.uk is where the This Week in London podcast is headquartered, if you like. So I'll be bringing content across from that, I think.
ThisWeekInLondon.co.uk, that is Paul Parkinson's site. And I want to welcome, thank you for joining me today on Blog Talk Radio on the Alan Levy Show. And I look forward to speaking to you more and learning more about what you're doing and following your magazine.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Have a good day.
Thank you.
I want to thank Paul for joining me today. We have lots of things that we're working on here on Blog Talk Radio, and we're working on a couple of special shows that are going to be hosted by Sean O'Mack. Sean does a show here on Blog Talk Radio, and he will be he's a host production coordinator. And Sean's job with Blog Talk Radio, just joined last week, is to help our hosts take care of the things that Paul and I were discussing: RSS feeds, iTunes, how to register, how to manage the process, how to upload music, how to upload bumper music or introductions. And Sean will be doing a weekly show, in addition to his regular magazine-style news show that he does daily. But this show will be dedicated to answering questions and providing support to the hosts. So we look forward to that. I believe the first show is next Thursday on the 19th, and you can follow that on our homepage at blogtalkradio.com. Once again, this is Alan Levy. Thank you for joining me on this show this afternoon, and I look forward to speaking to you next time. Be well.